I want to thank you both for getting together and doing this. Where is everyone?
I am in Lima, in my house.
And what's it like there today?
Oh, very sunny. Yeah, it's like if in New York still is snowing, here we have an awesome sun. The summer is just very long.
Ooh, wonderful. And Claire, are you in New York?
I am, actually. I'm in Brooklyn, also in my home, and getting ready for a sound check, which seems to be just, that's the state of existence, being in a sound check or a concert these days.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited and curious to see and hear this this performance on Tuesday. For our listeners who have not watched the video, who have not read about these speaker dresses and this whole project, could you maybe go back to the beginning and just describe what is a speaker dress and how did this thing come about?
Well, the speaker dress is a dress made out of many small speakers. So, for example, my dress, which is the first one that I built in 2014, it has 100 speakers. And Claire's dress that it was built in 2016 has a 100, almost 30 speakers. So it is a self-contained sound system. We wear the amplifiers, the sound sources, the power, everything. So we are able to walk around the space and be also the source of amplification.
So you're not connected to the house system anywhere at all, right?
Not, but we can, because now we are using a wireless system. So from the booth, my friend Torren can bring up the sound through the whole system at the end of the piece.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
The sensation of wearing your own sound system it's really something. It's really extraordinary. I mean, the amount of resonance, the feeling of wearing both armor and also wearing a device that transmits sound, quite a lot of sound. It's really unlike any other experience that I've had. And it's very powerful. It's at once fragile and vulnerable and extremely powerful.
And that's what it's all about, right? This sort of space in between functions, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, in between functions, in between genders, in between producing sound, receiving sound, the sound source, the directionality of the sound, for all of that to be embodied in two small female bodies on stage. This is the brilliance of Pouchy, and this is the beauty of her design and concept. As a collaborator of hers, it's just such a privilege to be privy to her process, which is not just as a composer, but also as a sound designer and as an instrument builder and as a mastermind of this interdisciplinary experience that we're having as well, with video and lights and the whole nine yards.
How did the two of you meet, and was it instant chemistry?
Yeah, I mean, Pouchy, it was in 2012, I think, a mutual friend and collaborator of ours, a wonderful, wonderful violinist named Jennifer Curtis, gathered a group of friends in North Carolina for a concert that she'd curated. And I'd heard a lot about Pouchy, but nothing can prepare you for Pouchy until you meet her. And she appeared in her speaker dress. And I think actually the first thing we did was Jennifer just threw me into a performance in which I was improvising with you in the speaker dress and responding to it just with flute sounds and breath sounds. And I just thought in that moment, wow, what a powerhouse, and who is this woman? And we have to make something together. So one thing led to another from there. But at least that was my recollection of it, Pouchy. Did we meet before then, or was that the first time?
I saw you before, because I used to go to New York once in a while for work and to study. But yeah, formally we met in that festival from Jennifer. And then we saw again during the mentorship program, no?
Yeah. During Pouchy's year with Philip Glass and the Rolex Mentor Protégé program.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about how the collaboration has evolved since the first performance of this piece. I imagine there's a lot of flexibility built into each performance. I imagine each performance is at least a little bit, maybe a lot, different from night to night, from venue to venue.
Yes, this is a performative composition, so it really is very important the structure of the space and the sonority of the space. So every time the piece is performed, it needs to be adjusted to the specific place or venue. It's like the venue becomes a third instrument, because what we want to achieve is to create a very specific mood. So in that sense, video work and lighting, and also the trajectory of the dresses throughout the space and how we interact with the people, that's also very important, and that changes every time we have to perform and confront a new venue, no?
Yeah, yeah, very much so. And, you know, this is the first time we will have had a chance to do the piece in a really large venue. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about it because, you know, one of the challenges of doing the piece, and it's one of the great gifts of doing the piece too for the performers, is that, as Pachi said, the space itself is a third partner in the venture. So we have had to deal with some very small spaces, and it's quite a, it's quite an intimate thing to be inside this dress and to be close to audience members. It's very challenging, but we've been in lots of performance situations where there really wasn't much space between us and the audience. In some cases, there have been just inches and centimeters between me and a human spectator body. And I am really excited about doing the piece with quite literally a lot of space around it. I think it's going to feel completely different in Disney, and I think that these sounds and the sights too, because the two are so integrated in this piece, are going to feel very different with space around them. So I'm particularly excited about this performance, and it'll be quite different than anything we've had a chance to do before.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about just sort of functionally how these dresses work and function within the context of the piece? So air as an inspiration, as a sound source, using the body, the skin of the body, you know, just to help folks get a visual image and just an idea of what all is happening as you're as you're performing.
Yeah, so technically what happens, everything is self-contained in the dress. So we are totally independent, and we can walk through the space and everything. And we wear headsets, mics, that wirelessly sends the signal to the booth, to the mixer. So then I programmed a mix patch with presets. So my score basically looks like a map. So depends on where we are at certain point in the space. My friend at the booth, Torrent, he presses the different presets, no, changing the modulation and the effects and all the processing of our voices. So that aesthetic of the sound world is very airy, kind of subconscious. I didn't want like a literal words. It is more like a gibberish. So because it's very interesting just to feel the timbre of the human voice in different temperaments, without getting too rational. And also Claire has a very personal way to interact with her instrument, with her flute, and she knows so many ways to breathe and to make sounds just with the air. So I said to her, just be yourself, but be as creative you can, but without a flute. So because sometimes I play violin and Claire plays flute, but the challenge of this dress was to who are we without our instruments? Are we still able to make music, to connect with people, even if we are with our main tools, no? So also, but at the end of the piece, we have a little conversation with our instruments as well. So yeah, the piece has this dichotomy, no? How to be alone and then with our main tools.
Yeah, it's beautifully put, Pauchi, and it's so interesting at that moment in the piece when we do pick up our instruments, it's both a relief and there's something sad about it too. Like there's loss somehow. I mean, in my case, I lose the mask quite literally. I have a mask that I'm interacting with and making these air sounds, as Pauchi mentioned. Essentially, I'm playing the flute and playing all kinds of extended techniques, you could say, on the flute, but without an instrument. So it's just breath and articulation and voice in rapid succession and in dialogue with Pauchi's sounds. By the way, Pauchi, you make some pretty awesome flute sounds without a flute too. I've learned quite a few of them from you. But it's fascinating. There's this moment when we both pick up the instruments, and my sense is always that something is lost there. Not in the piece at all, but something emotionally is lost rather than found. Because the experience of being in a garment that is not an object, it is not a show, a display of beauty or power or elegance or anything. It is a tool. It is a sound-producing, music-making, storytelling device, and it is very functional, and it makes us and I hope our audience also question, who is watching whom, and who is disguising whom, and then when we pick up these instruments, of course it's wonderful to play at that moment, and it's always so satisfying to make sound, but there is something that makes me nostalgic in that moment for the much more exposed musicians and women that we are, making music and telling this story wordlessly without our instruments. And it's a beautiful, beautiful series of metaphors that challenge themselves that Pauchi has set up in this piece.
Yeah, that's so interesting because, you know, I would think in some ways for an instrumentalist, you know, your instrument is kind of a safe space, right? And, you know, yes, within the context of any artistic expression, there's vulnerability there. But for you to not have your instrument in the beginning of the piece, I would imagine it makes you feel even more unprotected, maybe?
Yeah, and also that we are next to the audience, no? It's like we are not on stage, we don't start on stage, we don't have the instruments, so really it's like going into unknown place or situation, no?
Yeah, we're speaking an unknown language and we are making unknown movements. but I have to say, this is also where collaboratively it has been so rich for me, and I've learned so much from working with Pauchi. Yes, we're alone up there, but we're also with each other and we're on opposite sides of the audience as we enter, and we're interacting with each other's sounds, but we're also interacting with each other's energies across the room. And so there is a meeting there that is it's a different place of safety, I guess you could say.
This is sort of a weird question. How do you practice for this?
That's a great question. Yeah. Lots of ways, right?
We talk about the structure when we were developing the project back in 2016 for the premiere of the piece. We were very lucky that Claire had time. So we spent a lot of time together that month previous the premiere. So we talk a lot about the sound world, the temperaments, the sound effects. And basically, each time that we perform again, we basically have to rearrange the structure. Like part A, one comes from here to here in the map. So a lot, we don't have much time together, but for example, we performed at National Sadas last month, and before that in Berlin. So we kind of talk Through email, I sent her like the map for the space after I studied the space, and then we have a tech rehearsal after or the same day, and we fill the space and try to feel how the impact of our interaction in that specific space.
Yeah, and it's almost as if at this point in the process, and this really is because we spent so much time together improvising and trying things out and making recordings of what we'd done and then listening back and picking it apart and coming up with a structure in that generative way early on. At this point, it feels like the piece it's like an imprint in my body. The structure is there. The things that need to happen, the order in which things happen, and the emotional and energetic trajectory is inside my being. The way that you know, the way that we memorize a concerto or we memorize a piece of music, and it's inside of us. It lives, it lives somewhere, and it's never leaving you. So the piece has inhabited me in that way. And so when we pick it up again, it's about reminding ourselves of all the logistics and what happens when. But it's also just inviting that story back into play. And we can't really rehearse it until we're there with the lights and the sound working. And frankly, we can't really rehearse it until there are bodies there also in the audience that we're reacting to and energies that we're reacting to. So in many ways, like the rehearsal is, it's so much preparation, and it's talking and it's strategizing, and then we'll walk through the piece in the space, and usually we giggle through it because the sounds sound really funny without application, without the dresses on. But, you know, the truth is that we can't really do it until all of those elements are in place. And then I think for that reason, it always feels very fresh.
Yeah.
It feels like the imprint is ancient in our bodies and in our memory bodies, but then the experience is made anew each time, and it kind of has to be. That's what the piece is.
Yeah. What is it like when you're finished? What are you feeling in that moment?
Each time we perform, it's like we revisit a specific place inside. So it's like saying hello in that specific universe that is created throughout the 15 minutes of the piece. So when the piece is finished, I feel like I had a dream.
Yeah, you know,
and I have to come back to my mind. But what I do when I perform this piece and some other pieces is like I change that my channel, like you change that TV channel. So it's like I try to be very subconscious and connected with the moment. So then when the piece finish, it's like I have to come back. And there are many times that I even don't remember what exactly happened. Mm.
Yeah, there's something about it's a close to an alpha state that we get into. And I mean, I often feel breathless after it's over. You know, not just physically, but there's something about the emotional state that's just suspended and very open. I mean, my heart feels very open at the end of it.
Wow. Thank you both so much for spending some time this morning and afternoon, depending on time zone. And just as I wrap up, you mentioned that this is one of the, if not the biggest, spaces that you're performing this piece in. How do you deal with that? And what are you most looking forward to in terms of the opportunity of a large space, which also, of course, presents challenges as well?
Well, that great challenge is to transform the space with the tools that Walt Disney Hall, lighting and video projection, but also is like another big challenge is to project to such a big audience, but at the same time remain very close to them. Because the essence of this piece is that it's a very intimate moment. So I think it's going to be very exciting to see how to manage and to achieve that temperament in Walt Disney Hall. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, the piece, when we're really inside of it and when an audience also is with us for the journey, my sense is that we bring them in to this interior world in the beginning, and then we journey outwards to a space that's much larger than the physical space or the emotional space, energetic space that we're all collectively inhabiting. And then at the very end, we don't have the sensation of it being palm-sized or larger than the room. It's both things.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to do that in a large space is, it's just so much greater than it is in an intimate space. And I'm really excited about the challenge of doing that. I can't wait for Tuesday.
What's the future of the project, of the speaker dresses? Is there more to come? Are there more being created?
As soon as I finished Claire's dress in 2016, I started to design the third one, which it needs a lot of tech research. So I'm just waiting for the right time to make it. This is like an homage to female energy and to a reconsideration of what it means to have female energy, you know, because sometimes we think it is very subtle and then very strong. So why we can't be all of those things at the same time? My dream is to do like at the least a collection of 13, but throughout the years. But I just learned that I have to do it step by step. Yes.
It'll happen. Yes.
Excellent. Mm. Well, again, thank you both very much for your time, and so looking forward to Tuesday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.